How you guys doing? Awesome. Well, if you've been around the Vineyard for a little bit, we've been studying through the book of Romans for several weeks. And if you remember back, if you've been around here longer than that, remember back before that, near the beginning of the year, we started a series of messages where we were talking about the character qualities or the attributes of God, kind of what God is like. And we're picking that series up again. We're going to hit Romans again. We're kind of breaking things up this year a little bit. We're going to hit Romans again in the fall, starting in chapter 8. But for now, for a little bit, we're going to be talking again about what God is like, what his character qualities are, the nature of God. And we talked about how God is knowable. That's one of his character qualities. He allows us to know him. We talked about how he is supreme. Brenda taught a message on God's holiness. We've talked about his trustworthiness. Today, we're going to continue that. I'm going to be talking about how God is faithful. And in following weeks, we're going to talk about his love, his generosity, his goodness, his self-righteousness, his self-sacrificing nature. But today, we're talking about the faithfulness of God. Now, 100 years ago, if you would have lived pretty much anywhere in the Western world, whether or not you were a Christian, you would have had a basic understanding of the Judeo-Christian kind of nature or character of God. You would have had a basic understanding of the concept of God. You would have understood something about his grace, his righteousness, his holiness, his power, and his judgment. But that's not at all true today. Today, most people have a very vague understanding of what those concepts mean, what the real nature of God is like in the Bible. And because of this, much of the Christian ethic, much of the follower of Jesus lifestyle, much of the Christian message in our culture today doesn't make much sense because we don't have a very clear understanding of who God is like. So for instance, I don't think people just disobey God and go do whatever they want because they're bad, immoral people. I think people generally do that because they just don't understand what God is like and the kind of life that he's invited us into. In a functional way, they don't understand who God is. And so, that's what we want to dive into as a community. We just want a little bit clearer understanding of God. Here's another reason. That's one reason. Here's another one. I think that you could go back in history. This is my opinion. But I think you could go back in history and you could demonstrate that almost every heresy, almost every kind of wrong belief about God that's affected the church in the past 2,000 years has come from either believing things about God that are not true or from overemphasizing certain true things about God so that we completely ignore and de-emphasize other true things about God. Oftentimes I'll hear people say, we'll have a conversation, I'll be at the barber shop. I went to the barbershop, man. And I'll be someplace like that, and we'll have, they find out I'm a pastor, we start to have a conversation about God, and people will say things like this. Well, in my opinion, God, is this way. I'm like, well, cool, I'm glad that's your opinion, but do you understand our opinion about gravity doesn't change gravity? And our opinion about God doesn't change who God is. And so who has he revealed himself to be? That's what we want to do. And the truth is, I think almost all of us are guilty of this. Almost every single person I've met over the years has been guilty. We've been tempted to kind of overemphasize certain things and underemphasize things we don't like. So for instance, the Bible teaches that God is love. And sometimes we emphasize that to such a degree that we almost deny that God is also a just judge. He is both of those things. Others will press the biblical doctrine of God's goodness so far that they make that contradict his holiness. And yet both of those things are completely 100% true. Or we can make God's compassion cancel out his righteousness. We can make his sovereignty cancel out his, goodness and his mercy. And in an attempt to try to understand God and make him fit within our little boundaries, that sometimes what we do is we create these false dichotomies about who God is. Here's the first thing I think we need to understand. We can only hold a correct view of God. We can only hold a biblical view of God by daring to believe absolutely everything he said about himself. Until we're willing to believe everything that God has said about himself, our view of him is going to be, it's going to be skewed. It's going to be whacked out a little bit. It's going to be off. As humans, sometimes we seem to expect that if we simply study enough, if we simply read enough, if we simply think about it enough, that we'll understand everything there is to know about God. that somehow will balance out his love and goodness and mercy and grace with his judgment. We'll think we'll figure that out. I'm not sure that we ever completely will. There's something to be said for holding on to the opposite sides of things that God reveals about himself and not letting go of either one. So the scriptures are really clear. He's a just judge. The scriptures are really clear. He's loving. And we try to figure that out by kind of diminishing both of those things. Like, let's not diminish any of it. Let's dare to believe everything that the Bible says about him. You have to be willing to hold on to everything God says about himself, that it's true, that there's tension in all the different aspects of his personality, just like there's tension in your personality, right? Sometimes you're a total jerk, even though you don't want to be. There's tension there, right? Or am I the only one?
No.
No, okay, good. That's good. So here at the Vineyard, what I long for us to do is I long for us to believe and practice the whole Bible, the whole thing. We're not going to pick and choose. We're not going to, like, and we find that difficult. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at God's faithfulness. If you have a Bible, open it up to Psalm 136. Psalm 136 is a psalm that has this, it's a responsive reading psalm. And so your part's really easy. And then I'll read the parts that are like my part, and then you'll read the part that repeats over and over again your part. And we're going to read like the first 9 verses of this, and then I'm going to unpack your line. The line that you're going to say over and over again, I'm going to unpack that line for a while. And then we're going to write our own Psalm 136 right here tonight using your phones and the cool technology called texting. And we're going to write our own Psalm 136, kind of a celebration of God's goodness, okay? So we're going to read this. I'm going to unpack how faithful he really is, and then we're going to write our own version of it because technology is cool. You guys with me? You seem nervous now. Come on, you can do this. You can write a psalm. It's going to be fun. All right, so the Psalms, you may or may not know this, but the Psalms were like a prayer book. They're like a book of songs, and the Psalms are what people used to, for like the last couple thousand years of Christianity, we have used the Psalms to learn how to pray. And so as I read this, don't just read it, but actually pray the words. Like, don't just say them, but actually kind of pray them out. Psalm 136, starting in verse 1. I'll read the first line, and then you guys read the second, which should say something like, his love endures forever. Got that? Do you want to practice it? Ready? 1, 2, 3.
His love endures forever.
Oh, you guys are brilliant. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone who does great wonders,
his love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens,
his love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters,
his love endures forever.
Who made the great lights,
his love endures
the sun to govern the day,
his love endures
the moon and the stars to govern the night. And this goes on and on, and they recount the story of Israel's history with God. And it's a really cool psalm. So, like, I'm just going to stop right there, and I'm going to unpack this whole idea that his love really does endure forever, or more literally, for his love has no end. More literally, his love has no end. There's no end to it. So faithfulness really is a part of who God is. When you're reading something, and especially in the scriptures, if you want to see what's important to the biblical writers, look for what's repeated. Here's a really easy one. I wonder what the important line is here. His love endures forever. His love never ends. His faithful love lasts forever. His love is everlasting. God's love never fails. His love never quits. Literally, his love has no end. It means that God is absolutely reliable. It means that he is consistent. He's trustworthy. He's steadfast. He's unwaveringly committed to his promises. His love has no end. Faithfulness is part of who God is, according to the scriptures. He has made a commitment to love, and he doesn't break his commitments. God's not like us at all. He never breaks a commitment. God will always do what he has said. He will always fulfill what he has promised. So for instance, we've been studying through the book of Romans for a few weeks. N.T. Wright, Tom Wright, says that one of his favorite things about this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome is that it shows how faithful God has been to absolutely everything he promised to his people Israel. It just shows his faithfulness to his people. Like Romans is a celebration of God's faithfulness, that he's going to accomplish everything he said he would. And God is faithful in everything. Everything. In absolutely everything, our Heavenly Father is faithful. He's faithful in all of his plans. He's faithful in everything that he's ever said. He's faithful to accomplish it. Now, that kind of language sounds really good, but for most of us, we have a hard time wrapping our heads around that. We live in a generation where people know almost nothing about keeping commitments, keeping promises, even those who call themselves Christians. We have a hard time with commitment, a hard time with promises. As leaders in the church, as staff and leaders here in the church, we agonize over the issues when yet another couple here attending Vineyard has an affair. When yet another couple here at the Vineyard decides to end their marriage and divorce. We agonize over that. We've seen people who've been part of the church for years just crumble and fall apart in their family. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many claim to have an unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? Gosh, it was true in Solomon's day, and it's true in our day. So how is it that we want to build, how is it that we're going to build a completely countercultural, faithful community in the midst of a world that doesn't keep its promises, where everyone breaks their vows? How can we learn to be different? How can we learn to be different in a world where there's almost no commitment to anything? We don't commit to working for the same employer anymore. We hardly commit to going to the same school to get a degree. Like, if you want to get back at your boss, our two favorite words, if you want to get back at your boss, is just to walk in one day and go, I quit. Then you're like, you know, stick it to the man, right? Isn't that the way it works? We have a hard time committing to our country. We have a hard time committing to a church. If I don't feel like I'm getting exactly what I want to get, the right style of music, am I kind of stepping on our toes? But that's the way we are, right? If I don't get exactly what I want, when I want it, how I want it, dished up exactly the way that I'd love it to be, then like I'll just go find some other friends. I don't need those friends. I can find some other friends someplace else. There's friends in the next bar. I'll go looking down there. And so we have like generations of like church hoppers and shoppers, and we head off in whatever direction seems to be sizzling at the moment. We find it increasingly hard. You know, restaurant owners and servers bemoan the fact tomorrow's like one of the biggest days of restaurant like life, Mother's Day. I mean, Valentine's Day is the only one that tops it a little bit. And they say that 25%, at least 25% of those who make reservations just never show up or never, you know. And so they'll like book their restaurant solid. So you know what lots of restaurant owners do now? Is they overbook by like 10 or 15%. Because they know that 25% of us aren't even going to show up. And they say, I read this article that said, on the horrible day when they all decide to show up, when we're in trouble. Even airlines do that. Why do they overbook? Because people don't show up. You know, on Broadway, where it costs like $125 to like, I don't know, $300 for a ticket, they say only 75% of ticket holders show up. 75%. That's a stinking lot of money for a ticket. I never paid that much for any kind of a ticket. At least I don't think I have I, honey? I don't think so. Maybe she bought a ticket for me that cost that much, but over and over again, our communication, our marketers say, enjoy it now, no commitment, no commitment. Enjoy whatever you want now. When we come to worship God, when we come before him, he says something that is so profound, it's so over and against the rest of our culture. God says something that nobody utters anymore. When we worship, God whispers in our ear the word forever. Forever. His love never ends. It never fails. Nothing in our country is forever. Marriage vows today are so long as. Not forever, so long as you don't put on any weight. So long as I don't ever meet anybody more attractive than you. So long as I still feel this way in 10 years. So long as you don't get stomach cancer and it really messes things up. So long as there's not somebody better to meet my emotional needs. Even our products, built-in obsolescence, right? Like, how long will the coolest, newest phone last? Like, you know, the software is being built for it that someday, like in about 6 months, is going to make this slower than a turtle, and I can't live with it anymore. It just takes me now so long to download that file from China. Like, I'm downloading a book, and it takes so long to do it. It takes more than like 90 seconds. I get so frustrated. I still have my Razer flip phones. I don't know what to do with them. I don't think they work anymore. Like, I forgot to bring it. I was going to flip it out here right there, right? But so soon what I'll need is like the iPhone 27. And you think about it. It's not just that. There's lots of stuff that we would wish would last forever that doesn't. Have your kids ever gotten, those of you that are parents, have your kids ever gotten to a stage that you thought, oh, this is awesome. I just wish they would stay at this stage forever. And like 3 hours later, it's a new stage. Like, it just doesn't last forever, right? We worship in our culture, we worship youth. We worship being young. And yet, none of us stayed there. I turned 55 this year. I like saying it that way, 55. A young person came up to me and said, a young person came up to me at Vineyard and said, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, what are you sorry for? Like you're three times dumber than I am. Like, I haven't wasted my 55 years. Like, I have gotten a lot of experience. I've learned a lot of stuff the hard way. Man, don't feel sorry for me. I love it. This is like brilliant. Don't worship youth. But, you know, don't apologize for somebody when they turn older. Celebrate it. This is a cool thing. The joy that young lovers experience doesn't last forever. I'll never forget Brenda and I, as we're getting married, somebody said, you know, that look in your eye doesn't last forever. But that joy, you know what? The joy that young lovers experience doesn't last forever. But it can grow, and it can grow into something really deep and really cool. The most brilliant, world-changing ideas don't last forever. As Einstein was thinking up this theory of relativity and E equals MC squared, it's like, that was brilliant. And today, we figured out that there's so much more than that. Even the most brilliant ideas. In a world where nothing lasts forever, God leans forward. He bends down to us, and he whispers in our ear the word forever. My love for you will never fail. My love for you is forever. Nothing can separate us from his love. History is full of stories of God's faithfulness to an unfaithful people. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. We'll put them up on the screen. After God had brought Israel out of Egypt and given them the Ten Commandments, he makes this part of his character known to them. Deuteronomy 7. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who know him or love him and keep his commandments. As King David, many years later, worshiped God, he observes this, 2 Samuel 22, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. He also says that. He turns that into a song in Psalm 18. In fact, the Psalms are full of God's faithfulness. Psalm 25, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the commands of his covenant. Psalm 33, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Psalm 111, the works of his hands are faithful and just. All of his precepts are trustworthy. Psalm 145, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving to all he has made. This just comes up again and again, right? Psalm 146, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He's faithful to us. And then if you skip over to the New Testament, you find examples of his faithfulness. The person, in the person of Jesus Christ, we see the faithfulness of God. Look with me really briefly here at Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It reads like this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Seriously? Every spiritual blessing he's given to us in Christ. Verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He's saying that we've been chosen by God before anything else was ever created to be perfect in his sight. Seriously? Before anything was made? That's the faithfulness of God at work. in love, verse 5, he predestined us. He predesigned us for adoption to being his children through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He pre-planned that we would have the adoption to the full rights of being his sons and daughters. He pre-planned that whole thing, and it gave him great pleasure to do so. That's what it says there. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one. All of this is the result of his grace, freely, lavishly given to us in Christ. This is God's faithfulness promised to the nation of Israel. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in these few verses is just unpacking this over and over for how this works for us. In him, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. We don't deserve it. He lavishes this thing on us. In our own lives, we get to see God's faithfulness, don't we? In our own lives, if we're honest about it, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, God who called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. The one who called you and invited you into this relationship is faithful. So, for instance, when we face temptation, and we will, when we face temptation, we have this kind of a promise. 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. His faithfulness is there every step of the way. And what about when we screw up? What about when we succumb to temptation? What happens then? 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he'll forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you know why it's the faithful and just thing for God to do to forgive us when we confess? Because Jesus already paid the price. Like, he covered the whole thing. And so as we're in relationship with him, as we like submit and surrender ourselves to him, it's the faithful thing for him to do, to forgive us. And he's faithful to complete what he started in our lives. Philippians 1, I always pray with joy. I love this. I always pray with joy, Paul says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day to now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I love it. Do you ever look in the mirror and think, oh man, I don't know, God, I don't think this is working. Do you ever have those days? I have those days. I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh man, like, I don't know if this is working. I love coming back to this verse. Oh, wait a minute. God started this. And he never stops what he started. He's not like you and me that we start things and we lose interest and we start. God never loses interest in Michael Gatlin. That's amazing. Like, I lose interest in Michael Gatlin. But God never does. A.W. Tozier once wrote this, the tempted, the anxious, the fearful, the discouraged all find hope in the knowledge that our Heavenly Father is completely faithful. Last week, Steve Nicholson was here and we prayed for little things in our lives. Anybody here? I had some stories of God answering prayer. On my way home, one guy wrote, I couldn't find my sunglasses. I prayed. And then I got this idea to look underneath my car seat, which I thought was silly. Sure enough, my glasses were there. One gal posted on Facebook that her husband prayed for a free snowblower. She made fun of her husband, saying a free snowblower wasn't a little thing. On their way home, they saw a free snowblower sitting in somebody's yard with a sign that said free right over the top of it. One guy wrote this. I love this. He said, okay, the first thing I prayed about was for someone to help me on a big project at work. But then Steve said to pray for something fun, something you really wanted. So I prayed for sex with my wife that night. He said, I prayed that no one would be too tired, no kid complications, just enjoying one another. Prayer answered. He said, you asked. Oh, and God totally answered my other prayer. I got the help I needed. Now, listen to this. Even when God doesn't answer our prayers in the exact way we want him to, he's still faithful. When my kiddos came to me when they were little and they say, Dad, we really want this candy. And I'm like, it's bedtime. Dad, we really want this sugar. It's bedtime. I am not an unfaithful father because I say, no, that's not good for you. So even when God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we want them answered, he is still faithful. He is faithful. His love never ends. So having faith is really all about learning to trust in the faithfulness of God. I want to make this really personal. I want you to reflect and experience a little bit of God's faithfulness in your life. This love that will never quit, the way that you've experienced it. He's been faithful in my life. He's been faithful in your life. And so to begin this time of ministry and worship, we're going to do a little split screen over here. Let's flip it over there, guys. And what I'm going to invite you to do is pull out your phones. Now, those of you that can text, I know that ruled out, like, you know, people older than me. But those of you that can text, here's what I want you to do. I want you to text faithful and something about God's faithfulness in your life to that number up on the screen. And then I'm going to start reading Psalm 136 again. And we're going to respond by saying, "For his love never ends." And then I'm going to go to some of the things that we put up on the screen, and we're going to kind of write our own psalm, our own story of God's faithfulness, right? Now, I got somebody in the back that's putting those things up on the screen. So I'm going to go back to Psalm 136. And before I start reading that, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to remind us of the ways he's been faithful to us. And then if you're on the worship team, why don't you come on back up here. I don't know what that was, but I guess that was you coming on up. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness in our lives. Thank you for the way that you meet us. Father, would you help us to remember and reflect on ways that you've been faithful, on ways that you are faithful, on ways that you absolutely love us and bless our lives. And would you allow us as a community to worship you in the midst of that? All right, so why don't you guys stand up? And you're gonna respond, "For his love never ends." I'm going to start with Psalm 136, and then we're going to go on to some things on the screen here. And we're going to read these together, and then eventually the stuff on the screen will keep playing, and these guys will start leading us in worship at some point. It'll be the magical point when I turn around and go, "Now." Right? Okay. Ready?
Ready.
Okay, good. Cool. The refrain this time is, "For his love never ends. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his love never ends.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his love never ends.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his love never ends.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his love never ends.
Who by his understanding made the heavens. For his love never ends. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and the stars to govern the night. When money was tight, God provided the perfect car for our daughter. I've seen God never leave my side when my sister almost died. He provided me a way to save my agency close to $1 million. Man, directing me toward what's good for me rather than only what I want. He gave me a husband who treats me good and doesn't leave me when I have issues. God's faithfulness kept me from falling away from him. To show me love each day. A loving family. God let me have my dream job to be a stay-at-home mom. My sick daughter's nose completely cleared up when we prayed for her. God is giving us a down payment on a house. God gave us an awesome church family. God feels close when we pray. God took away my fear of church planning. We need to talk. After thinking we would never have kids, God gave us our first child. Isn't this awesome? Father, thank you for the way. Go ahead. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way that your love never ends. I'm going to keep those going up on the screen while we worship together. Father, would you visit us with your faithfulness today? If you're on the ministry team, make your way up here. We would love to pray for you. We'd love to just minister to you. If you're struggling with the idea of God's faithfulness because of unanswered prayers, things that aren't working out the way that you intended, the way that you'd like to see them, would you let us pray for you tonight? Because I believe God wants to give you just this gift of his faithfulness, this gift of being able to have confidence that your Heavenly Father really does have your best interests at heart. And we'll keep those things going. These guys will lead us in worship. Just hang out in here and worship as long as you guys want.